Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. We are continuing in a series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. Now, in this series, Rick looks into the scriptures, and he's unpacking what it means to live in community, have real conversation about what matters most, and face discouragement with courage and faith. It's honest, hopeful, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss a second. And now, here's part two of a message called Creating Life-Shaping Conversations.
Okay, here's number four. The T in listen stands for tune in. Tune in to any fear or hurt beneath the words. What people are feeling is far more important in a conversation than what they're saying. And what they're saying is often not exactly what they're feeling. But a lot of times they're saying one thing and they're feeling another. And if you're going to be a great listener, you have to look past their words, past the things they're saying. Because sometimes what they're saying is offensive because they're hurt. Or sometimes they're saying what they're saying is because they're afraid, they're insecure, they're fearful. And when people get angry, it's usually because they're either frustrated, hurt, or fearful. You know what? It's a whole lot easier to deal with people when you know they're frustrated or they're hurt or they're fearful than it is when they're angry. You're not very sympathetic to people who get angry at you, but you are sympathetic to people who are fearful, and you are sympathetic to people who are hurting, and you are sympathetic to people who are frustrated. And so if you can look past the words, in fact, sometimes in a conversation to be a good listener, you have to ignore the words and look at the emotion. And go, what's going on here? I'm feeling this intensity come through on something that doesn't seem to me to be a really big deal. But clearly, it's a really big deal because I'm feeling the pushback, the blowback. And you have to ask, is this hurt? Is this fear? Is this frustration? And you're looking beyond the words. You look, when you tune into any fear or hurt beneath the words, you're looking for the open nerd. Why are they so reacting this way? You listen for the pain. And sometimes the pain doesn't have anything to do with you. It's pain out of their past, but it's coming back at you in this particular situation. You look for the fear beyond the words. What is this called? This is called sympathy. Sympathy. When you're tuning in to the emotion. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, be sympathetic, loving each other like a family, and be kind and be humble. When you're humble, you're open to new ideas. When you're kind and sympathetic and loving, you don't blow back. They may get angry at you. You go, this isn't really what they're angry about. What are they afraid of? What are they worried about? What are they anxious about? What are they fearful about? What are they frustrated about? What are they hurt about? And if you're going to be a great listener, you've got to tune in to the fear or hurt beneath the words. Number five, the E in listen stands for engage them with open-ended questions. Engage them with open-ended questions. Now, what's an open-ended question? Well, it's the opposite of a closed-ended question. A closed-ended question only requires a yes or a no. When you say, Where were you on the night of the 14th? That's an open-ended question. When you say, did you do this, yes or no, that's a closed-ended question. If you're going to learn to be a great listener, stop asking your children questions where they say yes or no. Those kind of questions aren't really helpful. If you really want to understand your kids, your teenager, if you want to understand your husband, you want to understand your wife, stop asking closed-ended questions. Yes or no? Ask a question that requires more than one word and requires a little bit more thought than simply yes or no. Because that's where you're going to get to the deeper issues in the conversation. Be sympathetic, tune in the fear heard, and then engage them with open-ended questions. Now, I don't have to go into this a lot because we talked last week about the importance of questions in friendship. In fact, I used this verse last week, Proverbs 20, verse 5. People's thoughts are like water in a deep well. but someone with insight can draw them out. And how do you draw them out? With questions, particularly open-ended questions. What does that mean? Any question that doesn't answer yes or no. It's an open-ended question. Now, there's a magic phrase, I want you to write this down, that will make you a master listener. And you need to use it over and over and over with kids, with spouses, with friends, with anybody else. And it is the phrase, tell me more. Write this down, tell me more. That is the magic phrase on how you draw it out of people, out of grandchildren, out of anybody. Tell me more. So you don't just say, hey, tell me about what's going on. Tell me about your day. And then they finish and they might give you one or two cents. Then you say, tell me more. And then when they finish that, you go, tell me more. And then you keep finishing that, tell me more. What are you doing? You're going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And you're allowing them to express more and more and more. And a lot of times they don't really know if you mean it or not. And so if you say, tell me more several times, it says, I'm really interested in you. I'm paying attention. And what is attention? Attention is love. So you say, tell me more. With most people, whether it's kids or adults, you have to draw it out of them like a bucket, out of the well, a bucket of, and you do that by asking open-ended questions, and then when they respond, then you say, once they finish, that's not all they're gonna say about it. Tell me more. And you wait. And you have to learn to be patient. Finally, number six, in learning to be a great listener, the in listen is never judge until you have all the facts. Never judge until you have all the facts. This will make you a great listener. And Proverbs has a lot to say about this too. God says, I don't want you making snap judgments. I want you keeping an open mind. I don't want you to be presumptuous. I don't want you to presume. I don't want you to assume. Don't assume you have a clear picture. Wait until you're sure you have all the facts. Here's the problem. So your kid or your husband or your wife or anybody starts talking to you about something and you start feeling emotion about what they're saying and you start forming an attitude either for that person or against that person based on that, and you don't even have all the facts yet. No, God says keep an open mind. Don't prematurely evaluate. Don't prejudge something. Don't think you know everything in advance. Proverbs 18, verse 13 and 15 says this. What a shame. Yes, how stupid to decide before knowing the facts. A person with understanding gets the facts, and the wise person listens to learn more. And the more you listen, the more you learn, and you don't judge until you have all the facts, because assumptions and presumptions get us in trouble. Now, these are six golden rules for learning to be a great listener. All right, I have taught some of this material literally all around the world to about 500,000 pastors. So I'm going to give you a shortened version of how do you speak so that other people will listen, all right? And it's S-P-E-A-K, five skills. Number one, the S stands for this. Save it for the best time and place. Save what you're going to say, your conversation that you know you need to have with your child or your spouse or a boss or whoever. Save it for the best time and place. For great conversations, timing is everything. Have you learned this? That you could have a really good planned conversation and you shared it at the wrong time, and how'd that go over for you? Not very good. You know, one of the worst things is when you get in bed with your husband or your wife, and you lean down and your spouse says, honey, we need to talk. That'll put the fear of God in any grown man, okay? I just put my head on the pillow. Never drop a bomb in bed, okay? Save your bed for other things, all right? But discussions is not the place for particularly tough discussions, not there. Now, save it for the best time and place. When's the best time? Not when you're at your best, but when they're at their best. Not what's the best time for you to share it. The best time to share something, to speak to somebody about something, is when they're at their best. Now, With kids, you don't know when that's going to be. Last week, we talked about how kids are like clams. They open up and they close. They open up and close. You never know how long they're going to be open. You can't schedule this kind of thing. That's why you have to be prepared in advance, because you can't schedule it. They're going to open up. There's a, as Kurt said, there's a window of opportunity, and it's going to shut down. So you have to be patient. Here's what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 3:7, which was written by the same guy who wrote Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he says this. There's a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. In other words, there's times you need to speak up, and there are other times you need to shut up. Wisdom is knowing the difference. Is this a good time to speak up, or is this a good time to shut up? While you're waiting for the right time to come, you keep your ears open and your mouth shut, and you don't spill the beans prematurely. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 6 says this, there's a right time and a right way for everything, even though, unfortunately, we miss it for the most part. Okay. And how do you know when you've missed the right timing? You have conflict. Because they weren't ready for what you needed to share. So how do I know the best time? Here's number two. Pray and plan. Pray and plan. Pray what? Pray about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and plan what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. Now, even Jesus did this. Even Jesus did this. In John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus says, I have not spoken on my own power. Instead, the Father who sent me told me what I should say and how I should say it. You see, even Jesus didn't just go speaking on his own power. He would talk to the Father, Heavenly Father in heaven, and the Father in heaven told him when he should say it, what he should say, and how he should say it. Now, that's your God, God the Father. Don't you think if he told Jesus what to say and how to say it, he'll tell you what to say and how to say it? Why hasn't he done that? You haven't asked. You just haven't asked. But before you go into any major meeting, before you have that important, critical conversation with that child, with your spouse, with a friend, a neighbor, an employee or boss, you need to pray and plan. You need to do these two things in advance. You don't walk into a meeting unprepared without having prayed, without having planned. Now first, what you want to do is you want to plan. What that means is this, Proverbs 16:23. Intelligence people think before they speak. In other words, they put their mind in gear before they put their mouth in motion. Intelligent people think before they speak, then what they say is more what? Persuasive. Now, do you want to be persuasive? Okay, here's how to be more persuasive. Plan what you're going to say. Think it out in advance. Now, it says intelligent people think before they speak, which means planning is a sign you're smart. If you're walking into a major conversation with your spouse and you haven't planned it, that's dumb. That is not intelligent. That is not thought out. That is not wise. Intelligent people think before they speak. So you plan it out. Planning is a sign you're smart. And it says, if you plan it, then you'll be more persuasive. How persuasive do you think I would be if I stood up here every week without planning what I was going to say? If I got up here today and said, well, folks, I really intended to write a message to share with you, but there was a Brady Bunch marathon on. And I wanted to see what Greg and Marcia look like now. And that wouldn't go for anything. I would have no influence, would have no preparation, and I would have no persuasion because I hadn't planned it. I hadn't thought it out. Now, here's what the Bible says you do in your planning. Colossians 4:6. Everything, circle that, everything you say, what's not included in that? Nothing. Everything you say should be two things. It should be kind, and it should be well thought out. Friends, if you'll just practice that one verse, forget everything else I've taught today, you will become a master communicator. If you're kind and you think it out, what you're going to say, you're going to be a great communicator. Everything you say should be kind. If it's not kind, you don't say it. And well thought out. so that you know how to answer everyone. So the first thing you do is you plan. And the second thing you do is you pray. And like Jesus, you say, Lord, God, Father, teach me when to say it, teach me what to say, and teach me how to say it. Matthew 10, verse 19 and 20, Jesus says this. This is a promise. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it, because at that time, you will be given what to say. This is Jesus talking here. You'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Wouldn't that be nice? You think it's going to be better received? It's the Spirit of God speaking through you? Of course it is. So he says, you don't worry about it. Why? First, I planned it, and second, I prayed about it. And I said, God, tell me the right time, tell me the right place, and tell me the right way to say it. That's the P. I save it for the best time and place, what I'm going to say, and then I pray and plan what to say and how to say it. The E in speak, to be a master speaker, is empathize with their needs first. Empathize with their needs first, the person you're having the conversation with. You don't start out with your agenda. You don't start out with your hurt. You don't start out with your complaint. You don't start out with your gripe. You don't start out with your problem. You start with them. What's their need? What's their hurt? What's their interest? What's their fear? Not yours. What's their problem? Not yours. You start with them.
Wow, thanks, Pastor Rick, for such an amazing message today. And now here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
You know, ever since the publication of The Purpose-Driven Life, people have been asking me how they can teach their young children about the purpose of life. And they say, and I agree, that it's never too early to start teaching your children that they're loved by God and He has a purpose for their life. It's never too soon to tell a child God made you unique so you could fulfill your special life mission on earth. And God planned you just for that. Now, here's the super good news. We have taken the principles that are taught in The Purpose-Driven Life, and we've written them into short devotionals aimed specifically at children ages 4 to 8 years old. Today, more than ever, kids at this age need to hear the message that they're not an accident. They need to hear, even before the universe was created, God had you in mind. And He planned you for His purposes. You were made to last forever. Now, this book is called The Purpose-Driven Life, 100 Illustrated Devotions for Children. And it includes engaging illustrations and devotionals that speak directly to the daily challenges that all of our kids are facing. And as a way of saying thanks to you for your financial gift to Daily Hope, I want to send you a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, 100 Illustrated Devotions for Children. This will be a great thing to give kids or to grandkids. And at the same time, your support continues to help us tell people all around the world about God's love and God's purpose for them.
Be sure to request your copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, 100 Illustrated Devotions for Children when you give a gift to Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.